For October 12, 2011, it's a very special episode of Video Games Hot Dog, in which we go apeshit for stamps. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Aaron.
Special guest Aaron Burke with us again. Hey,
hooray!
Everybody, it's Video Games.
Thanks for having me back.
The fucking hot dog.
You're our first two-timer.
Excellent.
I'm excited to have you here because now I can play another song by somebody other than the mini bosses.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to not hearing that since you'll insert it later.
How's it going, everybody?
It's pretty good.
It's all right.
Yeah.
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 Anybody done anything interesting lately? Because I haven't.
No.
What have you been doing?
Just been
reading.
Yeah, catching up on my reading.
You read Game of Thrones and then switched to Name of Rose.
Yes, finished up the Game of Thrones and then picked up the Name of the Rose by Umberto Eco because it was something that I had gotten halfway through previously and then got distracted and never finished it.
Do you think that every time Umberto Eco wrote something, he then wrote it again?
Why'd you write that twice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I went to Colorado and picked up all of my childhood possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm. Boxes.
All your hopes and dreams.
Yep. And so then I carried them back here to Arizona. And then this past weekend, I opened all of those boxes.
Yeah.
And I was a strange little fucking kid.
Yeah, I heard you had some great stuff in there.
Yeah.
Some tapes.
I did have some tapes.
Is this true? You have all the Garbage Pail Kids?
I had a big stack of Garbage Pail Kids. I did not have all of them. I could have sworn that my mom had thrown those out, and I had accused her of doing so several times. And then there they were in the bottom of the box, and I was like, oh.
No, when in fact, she was all, I don't remember what happened to your Garbage Pail Kids. I was super high and constantly getting plowed by dudes.
Yeah.
I feel like she may have had her own Garbage Pail Kid card.
I had a bunch of those, and I don't know why, because I never liked them. I mean, even as a little kid when little kids love gross things, I never liked gross things, but I still got a bunch of those anyway, I guess just because all the other kids were doing it.
I remember being really excited
jumping off
about
of all those bridges.
Unzipped Zach. There was a guy unzipping his skin, and he had a skull inside. And I was like, I like skulls. My name's Zach. This rules. And on the back, there's part of a puzzle that's like a poster, a wanted poster for a bad babysitter.
Huh.
She was guilty of such crimes as talking to her boyfriend on the phone, eating all the snacks.
I had a couple of the trading card things. I had all of the first run of the AD&D trading cards from like 1990, 1991 or whatever.
Nice.
Oh. And I got like a factory set of like the whole thing. And I looked, I think
you paid like
$25
bucks
for the box. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, I wonder how much this is worth now. And I looked up online. It was $14.
Yeah.
It's like, sweet.
Nice. It's an investment for your future.
What were those things? What, like, give me an example of an AD&D trading card.
Goblin.
Yeah.
So just generics.
Super, super, super boring.
Did it have things about like goblins or
they
just
had
like
a little facts? It was a picture on the front with the name and then the logo and then just super
was
boring
it like,
stuff on the back. Yeah.
Was it like good art? Was it like recycled Dragon Magazine covers or was it just.
It was from all over the place.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah. It was like they were trying to capitalize on this thing. I mean, it was before Magic, right? But like. They're trying to capitalize on the whole, you know, baseball cards or whatever.
But it was post, you know, like the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom trading cards or
something. Yeah.
Star Wars trading cards.
Mine card.
It was right around the time of the first
rock. Individual centipede.
Big heart.
Collect all 10 million.
Yeah. What else did I find that was cool? There was an entire box of beta tapes.
Nice.
Stuff that my
mom... there was a box that said beta tapes, but then we opened it up and it was full of VHS tapes.
No, there were like three VHS tapes, which was kind of funny.
You should really convert those to VHS so you can convert them to DVD.
So that you can rip them to to Flack.
I didn't immediately throw it out because Zach pointed
they're all
out,
Roberta Flack videos. Yeah, I know that doesn't make any sense, but
Zach pointed out that there are probably just a huge treasure trove of vintage commercials on there.
Yeah,
from all the recorded
that
movies.
So I don't think that your initial plan was to pull out my bulk VHS eraser, which yeah. I keep primed and ready on the counter. On the coffee table,
but I didn't do that. So yeah, I've got a bunch of boxes I need to decide. I have a ton of Choose Your Own Adventures.
Nice. Awesome.
I am interested. Like, you should definitely not get rid of those because we need a company library of those.
Yeah, Prisoner of the Ant.
You know,
people.
You, those beta tapes. You should send those to Matt from X Entertainment.
Really?
Yeah, he might even have. I don't know if he has the facilities to read a beta, but he's exactly the guy who would love to have
a giant pile of old commercials. We could probably do that ourselves. You got a guy?
I got a guy.
Yeah, you got a guy.
Lives in Wyoming, of all places, but we could send the betas there.
If you want to get what if we wanted him to go through like an eighth of a dozen of our beta tapes?
1.125? That'd be fine.
1.125 beta tapes.
Yeah.
When I was really small, I really, really wanted like a little portable computer, and so I would like draw portable computers in my.
This was
like
sort of in the pre-laptop days.
It was
too,
yeah,
right?
Well, because we had a portable computer, and it was this giant briefcase, suitcase sized like compact.
I remember that, but it was a really weird portable computer because at the bottom it had 9 buttons for all the planets.
Yeah, so all of the portable computers, all the little computers that I drew would have like, you know, all the alphabet keys and then all the number keys and all the punctuation and stuff like that, and then a separate, unique, individual key for each planet. And I have no idea why, and I don't know what those were supposed to do or like why they were there. I was really into space. At the time, like, I have tons of like notebooks full of like facts about space,
quizzes that you wrote for yourself because you couldn't get enough quizzes in school, you nerd.
I had a timeline of all the like U.S. and Russian like space missions.
It seems like you went to like a space museum and just copied a lot of stuff into a notebook.
But I didn't. I didn't go to any space museums.
Oh, okay. you just made that up, and then it happened to be accurate.
I'm sure what I did is I was just like I would just read stuff, and then I would be like, oh, that was cool, and I'd write it down in this notebook.
Were you a space prodigy?
No, I don't think so. I never went to space camp or anything.
Did you subscribe to Prodigy, and that's where you got all of your space information from? Encarta online?
No.
No, wait, that was on Genie, not Prodigy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So
there was some cool stuff. A lot of GoBots.
I had a friend of GoBots.
You know, your parents had money. Why the fuck did you have GoBots?
Well, because I liked anything that transformed, so I just got like a lot of them.
Yeah, but GoBots really only nominally transformed.
I like Transformers a lot too, but I wouldn't touch a GoBot.
You know, I was
with a broken Transformer.
I did not
arm.
Have good taste when I was a kid. I think that is pretty demonstrable.
Okay.
So, you know,
takes a while
GoBots.
To develop.
There were like 8 boxes that said lamp.
There were like 3 boxes, and they all had lamps in them.
Okay.
I have 3 lamps that are sitting there. I had
a lamp enthusiast. There were also like 8 boxes that said stamp, which contained your stamp collection.
I do have a super old stamp
I can't
collection.
Even say it because my voice is choked up with disgust.
That I had a stamp collection?
Yes.
Really?
That is literally the most boring thing I can imagine.
I collected stamps for a year. I will agree.
You guys are dweebs.
I had a stamp collection for a short amount of time.
And then I realized, too, it was awful.
Yeah, it was pretty boring.
That is dweeby.
I've got probably a year's worth of first day covers, and then I've got this giant book of, like, I think it was a comprehensive book of, like, international stamps from some year period or whatever, and it was just given to me. I didn't actually collect any of those, so... And it's like half full.
How does one just get a stamp collection given to them? Multiple peoples. You asked for it.
I don't. No, I really didn't ask for it.
I think you must have worn a shirt that had some sort of slogan on it, like, stamps are totally rad. Except it would have had to have been a pun. Like,
I'm trying on the spot.
Yeah, I'm just flailing. Yeah, I'm flailing around trying to come up with a... I go postal for stamps.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
Or although that wouldn't have meant anything back then.
It's hard to.
Yeah, it's...
It's postal or something with glue. That's pretty much the only thing
right.
you can do.
Yeah. This is terrible. I can't think of a single funny...
The glue one's
I can't
rough.
Think of a single funny stamps shirt. I'm going to think of some later and
Me
edit
too.
Them in.
I had some magic... Did you really just mark that as a spot to add...
to edit in funny stamp shirt jokes.
Okay, all right. I had some like kid magic kits, like kits like with like dumb little magic tricks.
Rubber thumb tip.
This was just a full day of like treasure troves.
Aaron really likes the phrase rubber thumb tip.
No, I thought of a trick that probably shouldn't be said.
I had several different ways of telling people to stay out of my
room. Watch me pull a rabbit out of this baby.
Mommy, what's a Gorshin?
Those magic tricks were. I had some of those magic trick kits when I was. See, now the dweebs were into stamps. The cool kids were into magic shows.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the cool kids did.
Yeah. Card tricks. That was where it was at, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even know. Like, I had a bunch of old school boxes full of. Like school pencil boxes full of random erasers. Saying,
yeah,
like
you had interesting ways to tell people to stay out of your room.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had a thing that was like like one of those privacy things. On one side it said "I'm out," and the other side said "This room is outrageous."
There was a Max Headroom poster.
It was actually a GoBots poster. Okay, that
it was
had
a GoBots
master,
poster.
Max Headroom.
It had an article about Max Headroom on the back.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like taken out of a magazine or something?
Yeah, it was out of some sort of
Tiger
Beat. GoBots magazine.
Hardly.
GoBots.
GoBot Quarterly.
I have all of the cardboard fronts to CDs that, like all the, the cardboard cases, I like cut those out and kept the ones that I liked.
You're saying of the long boxes.
Yeah, remember when they had long boxes?
Yeah, I still have two long boxes.
They Might Be Giants ones, almost all my REM ones. No,
I have a REM green long box, and yeah, I have the Star Wars soundtrack on nice. CD.
I have my old
one,
records.
Faith No More, Angel Dust.
Nice. All right. See, you were cool in the early days of CDs.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think what I might do is next week I'll try to bring in one of my notebooks where I had some quizzes that I wrote for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Your bucket list quizzes. Was pretty impressive too.
Yeah, oh my god.
You had a bucket list?
He had a list of
things I want to
do
before I die.
His life, yeah.
Jesus, man, you were...
The freshman entry on this was go to the moon.
Yeah.
They're pretty far ranging. We'll read the whole thing.
Yeah,
we'll read the whole thing, and we'll see how many of those you've accomplished.
Some of them are.
You probably could go to the moon.
Collect one of every stamp.
That was not on the list.
Yeah,
have a dubbed copy of New Kids on the Block hanging tough.
Done.
All right, all right. You are 1/10 of the way there, buddy.
Yep.
Stamps, they deliver.
Nice. Very good.
Stamps, I will never get laid.
Philatelists do it under. Yeah, I don't have the end of that.
In the upper right hand corner.
There,
philatelists lick each other's undersides.
Okay, so it's a letter talking, and it says, "I wouldn't be getting anywhere without stamps. I'd be nowhere without stamps."
Yeah.
Stamps, like swamps, but with a T. Have you guys been playing any video games?
Yeah, played. The two things that I played that I think are worth probably talking about. I played played a game on the iPad that I can't actually look and see what it was called because my iPad is in the process of updating to iOS 5, but I think it was called Dark Meadow, and it is basically exactly the same as Infinity Blade, except with a more Silent Hill-ish sort of aesthetic.
What do you mean exactly the same as Infinity Blade? Like it plays like that? Like,
yeah, I mean it uses that engine and you drag to look around the space you are in and then tap to move to the next, place that you can stand, and every now and then a monster pops up and you fight it punch out style, watching for its tells, whether to dodge or swipe to attack. And you collect gold, which you use to buy new swords and amulets and crossbows, which appear out of nowhere because there's no actual physical shop or anything. Right. And you gain experience, and somewhere on the level is a boss that you will not be able to defeat until you have leveled up a fair amount. But if you die, you just go back to the beginning with all your stuff intact and
are
keep
you
going.
Like your son?
No, you're still you. There's actually, I like it a little bit better than Infinity Blade because the combat first is a little bit easier, and the writing is pretty good. There's You're wandering around this abandoned antique hospital, and there is an old man who talks to you over the intercom system, and the stuff he has to say is pretty interesting and funny and well written and well acted.
Does it vary from playthrough to playthrough, or is it always the same?
I have not run out of things for him to say to me yet, but I mean it seems to be in kind of chapters. So like the first chapter, you can only wander around the ground floor of the hospital. But then once you've beaten the boss once, the next floor opens up and a little bit more of the plot becomes evident.
When you get to the burn ward, does he start insulting you?
He calls the wambulance to take you away. The other thing I've been playing is the new DS Metroidvania, the Aliens Infestation.
I found out about that yesterday. I found out that it was out and ordered it, but it will not arrive at my house until sometime
now. It is pretty good. It looks really nice, and it's very, very moody. It's very dark. It captures all the mood that you would expect of an Aliens game. And
are the aliens hard to kill?
They're tough. They if you're not careful, they will rip through your dudes. It's kind of interesting the way this works, because you have a squad of four Marines, and which are sort of like lives, and they're sort of like energy tanks, because you've got these four guys and they all have different names and different character portraits, and their sprites are a little bit different, but mechanically they're identical. And if one of you pick which one is going to be the point man, and that's the guy that you're actually moving around on the screen, and you don't see the others except in save rooms. But when that guy dies, then you pick, all right, who's going to be on point now? And now you're that character.
But you can't switch in the middle?
You can only switch in a save room. But there's really no reason to switch, because as far as I can tell, all these guys are functionally identical.
It's not like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where you can switch to another turtle when
and
your
have
life
a different
gets
weapon.
Low.
And yeah,
get,
no.
Or are you doing more attacks when you have all five of your dudes?
Nope. You're one dude running around. Weird. So they're basically just like lives, because when the one guy dies, the next guy pops up right in the same place. But when one of your Marines dies, he's permanently dead. And you can, once in a while, you'll find like another Marine stranded in the spaceship or whatever. And if your squad isn't full, you can recruit them, so you have more guys now. But if you totally run out of Marines, it's game over, and you just have to go back to the last save. And there's a finite number of Marines in the game. I think there's maybe like 20 guys that you can potentially get. So that means that eventually your save game file, because you're going to keep saving regardless of this, is going to have just one guy. And so you have to be able to last on that one guy until you manage to find some more dudes.
I mean, I think what that means is that you like reload every time you lose a life.
I mean, that would be basically what you have to do if you want to avoid this situation. But the save rooms are far enough in between that it would be a lot of progress lost every time you wanted to do that. And then the combats are pretty rough. Like the first boss that I found like killed two of my guys.
Are the areas open enough that you can backtrack and
you can
the Marines you've left behind?
Yeah, you can. Although,
can you grind? Can you like level? Is there a leveling?
They don't seem to level.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not very far into the game. There's the first area you're on is the Sulaco from the movie, and you're on that for a little while, but then you leave and you go to this other base. I assume you
push
go-
the button for. For Mars. I was going to say yeah. Germany. Germany. I was trying to think of a planet, and I thought Germany.
So Hollywood. I assume you go back to the Sulaco eventually, because there are a lot of like areas that I couldn't get to the first time because I didn't have the right pass cards.
And stuff. Because there's a lot of doors on the Sulaco that they put the keys on just random colonies and stuff.
Yeah. So, things like there's steam vents that you can't cross because you don't have a pipe wrench and things like that.
Seems like they would have brought one of those on a Star Trip.
Now, do you find anything else other than aliens?
Predator?
There's aliens. I've not seen a predator. There's like enemy soldiers, like UMSC dudes or whatever. Yeah, there's some robots.
RoboCop?
It did not look like RoboCop.
Aliens versus Predator versus RoboCop.
That would be pretty sweet. That would be pretty sweet, actually.
Or just aliens versus predators versus every character that Kurtwood Smith has played.
Aliens versus predators versus Benny Hill.
Okay. Benny Hinn versus Predator versus Benny Hill. Benny Hinn's getting into heaven. Jerry Falwell versus Predator.
Is StarCraft basically aliens, predators, humans?
I mean, StarCraft is basically Warhammer 40K, right? Yeah. I mean,
it's
Eldar Tyranids and Space Colonial Marines. Yeah.
Warcraft was going to be Warhammer. Was StarCraft also supposed to be Warhammer 40K?
I don't know.
I know.
Okay. Aliens versus Predator versus September 11th.
What about January Jones?
You see those three red dots on the side of the tower?
Oh,
that would be amazing.
That's too far, buddy.
Yeah.
It's too soon. It's too soon.
I think actually it was the Gremlins that took him down. Big conspiracy to blame the Predators.
There was honestly a Gremlin on the wing of the plane that crashed into John Lithgow tried to warn everybody. They're like, guys, there's a great... Look, John, we've got bigger problems than your fucking Gremlin, okay? Just get back in your seat.
Who fed the Taliban after midnight? Is
just saying silly things.
So Aliens game, yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. You'd recommend?
So far,
there's no leveling up kind of deal.
Not that
so
I've seen. I mean, I got
any other playing mechanics to
I got,
it? Or?
I got like a weapon power up, but I don't know exactly what it's doing for me.
Wow.
I found a pretty sweet shotgun.
Oh, yeah? I was like I watched the first couple minutes of the Giant Bomb quick look of it, and there's like a pistol that has unlimited ammo, and then everything else has ammo that you have to collect, or?
You automatically refill all your ammo in a save room.
Okay.
So it's really just limiting the time you have before you have to go back to
Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Seems like they should build those bases with a save room every other room.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, that seems like what I would, you know, my ship
I think
would be
the
mostly save
aliens
rooms.
Also get to save, though, so it's a mess.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and backtracking just for saving and healing isn't very effective because every time you go in an elevator, all the monsters and all the rooms respawn. So you would just have to fight back through to get back to where you were.
Wow.
And yeah, the aliens will rip your shit up if you aren't on the ball. So it's a tough game, but I mean,
I hope I enjoy it. The thing that I like about modern Metroidvanias is leveling.
It's
I like grinding. I like finding a place where you can jump in, swing your whip once, and kill like three of those dancing ghosts.
Yeah, it's
not, get all the experience.
It's not like
and then
that.
Leave
yeah.
and then jump back in and do it again. I guess I'd have to fire my chainsaw gun once and kill 8 xenomorphs.
It's hard, but it's hard in the way that makes it appropriate for the theme, you know, because it's you've got that feeling of, oh shit, this is fucked up and I'm probably gonna die, but that's what that Marine character is also thinking in that situation. So it adds a nice level of tension to it.
Right. We don't want to make it too unrealistic by killing an alien and having it drop a magic orb or a special card or something.
Yes, I got the Jack of Hearts from that last alien. I can power up my plasma rifle.
I think one of the developers said in an interview somewhere that there's no equivalent to like the what do you call it in Metroid, the jumpy spinny thing that annihilates
the screw attack.
Yeah, there's no screw attack. Your Marines are they're just guys, and they're if you're not careful, they're fucked no matter how far in the game you are.
Yeah, game over, man.
Yep, game fucking over.
That better be what it says when you get killed.
Oh, you know, I think it just said game over.
Fuck those guys.
Man, yeah. That's a good idea.
That's not a good Aliens game.
It did have a cat scare in like the first 30 seconds of the game. I thought that was nice.
Well, is it just because you hadn't leveled up your cat skills enough?
I haven't been to the cat skills ever. Yeah.
What have you been playing, Aaron?
Deus Ex.
Yeah?
The new one. Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it a lot. But after two playthroughs, I can't see myself playing it again for a while, and I haven't gotten the DLC either yet.
Did you play through Nonviolent?
Two playthroughs ought to be enough for anything.
I did. I was telling Zach earlier, the first playthrough I did on the regular difficulty, and I allowed myself to kill folks, and that was fun. And then I played it through on the hardest difficulty with just knocking people out. And that was fun, too.
Are all the NPCs dicks to you if you kill people?
They are not. They don't... There's no real difference except in the kinds of experience you get at the end of the mission. If you do something without killing somebody, you'll get a little more experience.
Because they got preachy in the first Deus Ex.
Yeah, they did.
Everybody was like, yeah, you turned that into a bloodbath, JC. And yeah. JC is all, I'm sorry, I did what I had to do.
Can you haul an American
and then,
flag
and then a woman would come
around
up
and show
me,
it
guys,
to everybody in the game?
I just had to tell you that the helicopter's here.
And then every once in a while, the janitor would say, can I take a lunch break now? Yeah.
Stay out of the ladies' bathroom, JC.
Table for one, please.
Yeah, the waitress.
I wish the studio could have fired.
Are you ready for
could have tried to hire more than one voice actor.
They don't get... There's like a couple lines here and there, but they're not as preachy as in the first one, no.
No. There's no Anna Navarro?
No.
The thing that a lot of people in reviews talked about that I thought was interesting is there's an early mission where they tell you go to the helicopter or whatever to go to the mission, and if you ignore it and bumble around the base for too long, it starts like affecting the outcome of the mission that you're supposed to go do.
Wow.
Like hostages start getting killed if you take too long to actually get to the mission.
That would be cool if that's true. I never experienced that. There is a part in the first mission where you do have the choice of going after to rescue some hostages or not. And the way
poison gas thing that you have to hack.
Now, I thought that, I don't know, the first time I did it, I had killed everybody in the surrounding area, so it was fine. There was nobody there, and I rescued the hostages. But the second time, when I was doing stealth, I just bypassed the rooms on either side. Not only did I not knock out the people, I just bypassed them completely, which is a great part of the game. The only thing is, the hostages room overlooks this room full of folks. And I disabled the bomb, but there's no way those guards didn't notice that I was in there. Not only that I was in there, and that they didn't.
Right, and
I
then all
the hostages
start filing out. I'm just like, oh, thank God you disabled the poison gas so we could walk out the door and get shot in the face by these
like
dudes.
Like a guard was going to come up and be like, hey, where are you going? And the hostage was like, no.
Go get another poison bomb.
He got by you.
Go,
he disabled
go talk
it.
To
we
JC.
Get to go.
Yeah.
Fair's fair. Fair's fair, buddy.
Ollie Ollie Oxen free.
But it's a good game. I wish it was better. It's still really good. It's not a Fallout 3, and that's the next thing I'm waiting for.
You just want everything to be Fallout 3.
I want everything to be Fallout 3.
Even Fallout 4. You don't have to be Fallout 3.
Fallout 4 to be Fallout 3, colon, 4.
Yeah, Fallout 3, colon, 4. Just HD, colon, HD. It's exactly the same. It's still just like Liam Neeson. Starts out exactly the same, except you can see every hair of his mustache. You can pluck them individually if you put enough points into tweezing.
There is a cool part in the game where you have this NPC co-pilot that's through the game a lot.
Is it Jock?
And I think her name is, I don't remember what her name is, but she's your Iceman, basically. And there is a level where you get ambushed, and if you can defeat everything quick enough that she doesn't get killed. But it's very tough, and it doesn't really change the core, but it's halfway through the game, so if you save her, she will be in the rest of the game with you.
I mean, that seems like a deliberate echo of your brother in the Tom.
Yeah, totally.
From the first one.
But it doesn't change the story. I feel like they could have... spent more time changing it so it would be worth it to do it. It's worth it to save her.
Yeah, but I guess they committing those resources to something that most people aren't going to do or see is going to be a hard. But that's going to be a hard sell in a staff meeting.
Like people will appreciate hearing the stories of the people who did it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but how many? Zach's got a point though. How much percentage of people? Like, there's even a small percentage of people who even play these games to completion, let alone. You know,
yeah.
A lot. It's to some extent they've already bought it, right? So, yeah. Like,
so you should really just make the first level.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just the rest of the game is just
imagine the second
one. Yeah, the rest of the game is just the first level again, but in different colors, like an Atari game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Haunted house. We found your two Ataris and two copies of every Atari game.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird.
What?
What? I have two Ataris and almost every game that I have.
Kevin, I think you found a dupe bug.
I was going to say, did you create a duplicator too?
Yeah, it was weird. Single case of Atari games. There was almost no interesting Atari games in it. From having spent some years like fishing through secondhand stores and thrift stores and stuff looking for Atari games, the ones that you had were the extremely common ones.
Combat.
I did not go out and buy the games because when we got that, I was so young that I didn't know for shit what was going on.
I don't think you even had Adventure.
I definitely played Adventure, so it's possible that just didn't make it into the box.
You had Air Sea Battle and Air Sea Battle.
Yeah, I had Defender and Defender.
Cool. Combat?
And Combat.
Combat and Combat.
Yeah. Did you have E.T. and E.T.?
I didn't have E.T.
Yeah. Oh, you could have twice the bullshit.
That game was not that bad.
I liked it.
Yeah.
A lot of people hated it.
There were so many worse Atari games than that. That game gets a seriously bad rap because it disappointed people's absurd expectations.
They just wanted to phone home.
They made that game in like 6 weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it just wasn't that bad. It was confusing. There was it was a weird Atari game because you had like a dozen verbs, right? That were because you didn't have a dozen controls or a way to give a dozen different inputs. It would like sort of random, like depending on where you were standing, the button would do different things. And there was a little icon at the top of the screen that was what you would do if you hit the button in that spot. And so like there was it was frustrating to people because they needed to read the manual to play it.
Yeah,
nobody wants to read the manual. But it was really no worse than a lot of Atari games at the time.
I know it has a bad rep, but I liked it.
You didn't like Knight Driver though, so I don't know.
I did not like Knight Driver. Yeah, my dad was a big fan of Knight Driver.
I think it was Knight Driver, so that they didn't have to render any roads.
Yeah, it was just like posts, little rectangles that would sort of
divide.
Occasionally, a tree would go by. There were oncoming traffic that you had to avoid. Do you think they were trying to cash in on Knight Rider's popularity?
Maybe.
No, that's what people. Oh, sweet, a Knight Rider game. Nope. This is just a game about driving at night.
I mean, you could pretend your kit.
Yeah. I mean, you could pretend you were Airwolf, just going real low. You're like trying to be under the radar. Yeah. I still need to get my. I now inspired by the guy who wrote Ready Player One. I want to get a kit swooper for the front of my car, and then the vanity license plate Airwolf.
Nice.
Did you know that Will Wheaton did the audiobook? Ready Player One?
I did not.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And he did some sort of live event with that guy where they both read chapters or whatever.
That must have been dreamy.
Yeah, I'm sure it was pretty awesome.
What else you been playing?
That's pretty much it. I've just Deus Ex.
Any iPod Touch games?
No. I have not been playing anything on there. It seems like there's been a real dearth of stuff coming out for it lately. I'll have to check out what you were playing, but I haven't been playing anything on the iPad or iPod.
Did you, have you played Space Chem?
Nope.
That just came out on iPad.
If you like
a logic puzzler.
You know what I've been playing is, Seven Little Words.
What's that?
It's a, Android or iOS game. It's a word game.
How does it play?
You have seven clues, And it tells you how many letters the answer to each clue is.
Like then, crossword clues kind of thing?
Kind of like a... Maybe I should explain the grid first. So on the bottom is a grid of 5 times 5 boxes, 25 boxes. 25. And each box will have 2 or 3 letters in it.
Okay.
And then there's 7 clues above it, and it tells you how many letters are in each word that finishes the clue. And then you try to make the words, the 25 boxes will create all 7 words. Huh. So
you have to pick which letter goes in each box.
Uh-huh.
Or letters.
Yep.
No, so, there's like a 1 letter per box is correct.
No, it's 2 or 3 letters per box.
But only one of them is correct?
No, they're in the right order. So let's say the answer was ashtray.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a box with an AS, maybe one with an HTR, and then one with an AY. But they won't be next to each other. They'll be...
But do you have to move... You have to arrange them so that they're next to
the right order.
Oh, okay. Huh. So you're just finding...
So like flick... Yeah, clue 1. Flick your ashes into this. 7 letters.
That's hard.
Ashtray. Yeah. Well, they're usually harder than that. That's a pretty simple example.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
7 little
words.
Put
your ashes into this tray. 7 letters.
Has anyone seen my ashtray? 7 letters.
Answer is ashtray. 7 letters.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
So that's pretty good. But that's it. Just that and Deus Ex is all I've been playing.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about you, Kevin?
Not a whole lot. I played a couple of Flash games. I played Not to Scale on your recommendation.
It's pretty good.
From last week. It was okay. I had a really hard time. I ended up just solving it like a regular puzzle mostly. Like I'd be like, okay, I need some sort of black piece that's gonna like start halfway through, and then I would just look at all the pieces and see which one was supposed to fit there and stuff.
Yeah, how else would you solve it?
I mean, I thought you were supposed to figure out like which pieces were at the wrong scale and figure out based on that.
I don't know. You were just trying to make a picture.
Yeah, yeah. I had a really hard time telling when something, like, you could tell that they were out of scale, but you couldn't tell if they were supposed to be bigger or smaller. It was just bad both ways. So I did that, and then I played a little bit of a Flash game called Warlight, which at first I thought was just some sort of like single-player Risk clone, but it seems like it's got more depth than that in a couple of ways.
Even the first level, which you said was exactly like Risk,
so it was an identical map.
Fundamental ways in which it differs from Risk.
And you got reinforcements that you put on your things exactly like in Risk. There were bonuses for having regions exactly like Risk. You get cards starting in the second level exactly like Risk. Well, not exactly. It was very similar to Risk.
But you issue orders. You assign reinforcements and issue attack orders, and the computer player does that simultaneously.
And then you see
what happened.
Yeah. Okay. So you're attacking stuff, but you don't know how many armies are going to be there when you actually attack it, and you can't go like
on
2 levels.
Turn,
you can't go
yeah,
2
you
levels
can't
deep into enemy territory
deeply.
Because you can't issue future orders.
That's
so,
interesting.
Like,
it was interesting.
Changes it pretty fundamentally.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was not the same game. It was just very heavily based on that, and then it started to get more and more complicated pretty quickly.
They added a fog of war.
Yeah, a fog of war.
They
and
added
like
a stamp collecting mini game.
Did they?
No.
Oh, okay. A much more involved map.
He got so excited.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, cool. And then more tiny heroes. I've beaten every campaign except for the gauntlet at this point, and so now I'm working my way through that.
So I beat every gauntlet level except the tiny heroes one.
Oh.
We need to get gauntlet.
No.
Yes.
No. Trust me. You'll play it for a day, and then you'll be like, "Okay."
Yeah. Exactly.
Fun.
Like
we
did with Zybots
together.
Zybots. We played for a couple months.
You think?
Yeah.
Until you ripped off all the high. You cheated your way to all the high scores, and then we were like, "Fuck this!
I
can't."
Cheating so much as buying.
And you named
it. It's hard to think of an
Mercury Venus
of a cool old school arcade cabinet that would have high replayability.
Tron
Rampart.
Do you think Tron?
I think multiplayer Rampart is a thing that we could get into.
Yeah.
A competitive multiplayer game. I could see us playing for longer than, you know, basically like the campaign of Zybots. Was, you know, what getting a Zybots cabinet did for me was it made me learn about Zybots. Made me learn how the levels start to get procedurally generated after a while.
Yeah.
How it was supposed to be a gauntlet sequel. Yeah.
It was Warlords. Warlords would be a good cabinet to get for
the
4-player multiplayer.
The Atari one?
Yeah.
The breakout one?
Yes.
That was cool.
I remember playing Warlords with you on a MAME cabinet somewhere.
Yep.
What game was set in the Warlords universe?
That's a different Warlords.
I know.
But Puzzle Quest, it was Warlords. Puzzle Quest was set in a later Warlords universe.
Warlords was pretty great.
Do you mean Warlords or Warlords for the Atari, like the four-player breakout?
Both. The Warlords, the sort of strategy RPG was also very good.
I never played that.
I played a lot of that.
It was up to like 8 players. I think we had an 8-player hot seat game at my house one time, and the turn started taking like half hour, 45 minutes.
You would play entire campaigns of Dungeons and Dragons in between each person's turn.
We started sleeping and then waking up the next person whose turn it was because the game went on so long.
Wow. You invented cryostasis.
Yeah.
Because it was I don't think I ever played a hot seat game other than Star Control, which is funny.
Because that's a single player game. Oh, I guess.
The first Star Control had a weird strategy game to it. You'd build bases and mine resources to build ships with, and then only when your fronts met would you do the space battle thing,
right?
Which you would also hot seat because we only had half a keyboard, so it was in a lab at a school.
That's
a very poor school district.
Yeah,
the best Mac hot seat game was RoboSport. Any of you ever heard of that? It was a lot like a really old version of that new Frozen Synapse game. That sort of, you've got like a little squad of robots with different weapons, and you issue them orders of, all right, this robot goes over here and then ducks and then watches for any enemy robots and shoots at them. And then you issue all your orders and say, all right, player two gets in the chair, and then they issue all their orders, and then it generates, and you watch a little movie showing what happens with all your robots jumping around, and then you get more turns. It was pretty great.
That sounds awful.
Oh, it was awesome.
That sounds like a thing I would hate.
It was awesome.
That's about it.
Cool. I, other than the assignment, pretty much only played Glitch.
By played, do you mean checked in every couple hours?
Checked in every couple hours to see if I need. In fact, I'm gonna let me check my phone to see if I've finished learning whatever bullshit gardening skill. Have you given up on it completely?
Every now and then, because I never clear out my email inbox, so every time I go and look at my email, I see the last email they sent me, and I go, oh yeah, Glitch. I could go look at that again.
I've been hanging out in the Kingdom of Loathing group chat, and so I've started getting emails about just like friend requests from people all the time. So I'm constantly being reminded of the existence of Glitch.
Question: if you start training a skill,
yes,
and you are like halfway done with it, and you're like, I want to train something else, do you lose the progress you made?
I don't think that you can.
You can, and I don't think that you do lose the progress.
So it seems like I would each night before I went to bed start trying to train up something that was going to take forever, and then when I woke up in the morning, I'd start training all the quick skills.
Huh.
And then
might be possible. I don't know, because I only played it during that fairly early beta, so things.
I have not seen anywhere that you can cancel out, but I haven't. I didn't look.
It's not a thing I would do. On the web page, if you open the new page that has all the skills and everything, you can manually click to learn a skill while you're already learning one, and it will pause the previous one and start learning the new
one. Yo, dog! I thought I heard you liked learning skills.
I want to see how deep the systems go. I made a grilled cheese sandwich today. Yeah.
If you ever find any interesting content or story, let me know.
I don't think there's a lot of story. I mean, I think it's user-generated content.
I have heard that there is like story and interesting things that happen with the seven imaginary giants or whatever eventually.
I know you eventually get to the point where this bird can attack and you have to fight this bird. Like, and there's some actual fighting, and it's like it looks like a bird is flying and attacking your monitor, sort of. It's like pecking holes in the screen and stuff, which I mean, it's making like holes in reality.
How do you fight it?
I don't know. You get martial, there's a skill that's like martial instincts, and then another one called piety that lets you turn those altars to the gods into some kind of cannon.
Huh, okay.
I don't know.
I think Alka-Seltzer is how you defeat it.
You have to make an Alka-Seltzer and then throw it to the rook.
You have to throw in just the right place because it can only move in a straight line.
Yeah. You just get that. You get your android to cut it off at the pass. Another joke also.
Oh, man, that's...
I have that to, was multiple layers there, yeah.
Yeah.
I just remembered, and now I want to play some more Aliens Infestation so that I can find it. Apparently, somewhere in that game, there is a...
You can unlock the top half of Lance Henriksen as a playable character.
No, you can unlock a touchscreen mini game of the Bishop's knife trick.
Mumbledy Peg?
Yeah.
He probably didn't call it Mumbledy Peg. He probably
called
it, like,
a different game.
Lizardy Blast or something, like something future-y sounding. Yeah, so Glitch and... I mean, the reason that I have not been playing anything is because all of my video game time is being taken up with the Old Republic beta. So that and the assignment is pretty much all I did. Yet, I have played dozens of hours of video games in the last week, not mostly ones that I can talk about.
Still played a ton of the assignment, and I'm still playing a ton of Neverwinter Nights.
Oh, yeah?
It's too long. It's starting I mean, it's a really enjoyable game, but it could stand to be about two-thirds as long as it is, because the it gets too repetitive.
You know, I was excited enough about last week's assignment that I continued to play Castlevania 2. I'm kidding.
Okay, I was like, wow, really?
Never going to play Castlevania 2 on purpose again.
I missed Castlevania 2 was the assignment?
Yeah, Castlevania 2 was the assignment.
And
was,
you guys didn't like it?
No.
I thought it was all right, but I could not have possibly gotten through it without a walkthrough.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
what
I might have...
The kneeling at the cliff?
Yeah, I never would
Headbutt
have found
Montgomery
or
Clift.
Figured out enough clues to ever know what was going on, especially because everybody lies to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the real world.
I think I mainly enjoyed it when I played as a kid, mainly just for the music, probably.
Yeah.
Music is just
Do you have a fondness for old NES music?
It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, you don't hate it?
No, it's
cool.
No opinion on it, really. So it's okay. It's music.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. So is that what we've been playing?
Yeah,
that's what we've been playing.
What's up in the world, Kevin?
Well, I don't know. Did you hear that hackers are still fucking with Sony?
I mean, hackers are fucking with everybody.
Yeah, but Sony suspended like almost 100,000 player accounts.
No, they're hacktivists now.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
They're white hacks.
God, if we could just read Jake Applebaum's email.
Yeah.
We could stop all of this. Yeah, but Sony fended them off by just destroying everybody's... They decided to... what is it called?
Nuking them from orbit.
To ransack. Is that ransacking is when you destroy your own stuff so that an invading army can't...
Oh, is it?
Can't get it.
Huh. Is that
I did not know that. Is that
I believe
case?
So.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's an interesting wrinkle. I did not know.
That might not be the case. But it's like scuttle it. Like, you don't scuttle somebody else's ship. Like, you scuttle your own ship,
true.
Right? So, yeah. It's like that, except you're women. And so you rape them so the invaders can't. Because they don't want your sloppy seconds.
What's a scuttlefish, then?
Scuttle. It's a scuttlebutt combined with the front half of a scuttlefish.
Oh, I see.
Scuttle maid. Yeah, I feel like how I felt when I learned what decimate actually means.
I might be totally wrong about this, so don't get too excited.
Okay.
What does decimate mean? Make
to
one
kill
tenth
one,
of it?
No,
to
kill one,
to
one
kill
out of every
one
10.
One out of every 10, yeah.
So, like, it is not so that... It's like, it's a big deal in warfare when you consider that battles in warfare usually don't result in, like, the sort of movie-style casualties of every member of the opposing army.
Right.
You know? But that, like, once you've lost 10% of your forces, it's like, fuck, giving up.
Yeah.
Because being decimated
and
is
also,
rough.
Like, didn't, like, the Spartans would, like, if one of their battalions or whatever, if people were fucking up too bad, they would decimate it as a punishment. Like, every 10th guy step forward and fall on your sword.
Nice.
Yeah. Huh.
You know who I wish would fall on his sword? Jimmy Fallon. Every 10th talk show host. No, just you, Jimmy. This whole thing was just an elaborate ruse to get you to die. Stop laughing. It's not funny to anyone but you.
Zynga's doing some weird shit.
Yeah, they're like making their own platform because they're trying to get the fuck out. They're trying to GTFO. They're like, Facebook, GTFO. We're tired of giving you 30% of our billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, I think my take on it is that they are trying to establish their own space in case they outlive or outlet Facebook, or in case Google Plus or whatever sort of takes over, so that they don't.
Prevailing sentiment is that Google Plus is in serious trouble. Like it just, it's like a failed experiment at this point. Like they've lost 60% of their users already. Like,
yeah, but I mean,
which just means that it didn't work, right? Like,
who knows what's going to happen in the fullness of time? There's still plenty of people posting on it, you know.
I logged onto Facebook for the first time, like maybe a week ago, and it is vastly different. So much worse. Like, I don't know what the fuck. Like, there was some weird bug going on where there were these chat windows that were just flickering in front of my screen all the time, stealing focus from everything that I was trying to do.
So they,
I was trying to send him, I logged onto Facebook because there was somebody that I only knew how to get a hold of on Facebook, and I wanted to send a private message to them. And it took me like 10 minutes of just staring at shit and clicking on shit to figure out how the fuck to do the literally the simplest operation on Facebook.
They have gone through maybe 4 or 5 different interface iterations in the past month. And the current one that they're on right now is actually not so bad.
Oh yeah.
There's like a bunch of hot lists to stuff that I would normally have to like go through.
Are you sure you're not just being ABCD tested?
I don't know.
If I were Zynga, I would want to get the fuck away from Facebook, I think.
Do you think people that play Zynga games would would go elsewhere to play them?
I think that they would, because the way that Zynga gets customers is by stealing customers from their other games, right? So the way that Zynga gets customers for Fart Wars is by saying like, oh, you like Mafia Wars, huh? You should come play Fart Wars, and then you link to it.
Deeply integrated into Facebook, so you're looking at Facebook.
See, that's what I wonder.
And you're playing a game while you're looking at Facebook.
Yeah, a lot of those people who play those games play them because they opened Facebook and saw the game there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's my curiosity.
I'm guessing, though, that, well, I don't know. I don't know anything about Facebook integration, because in spite of everyone, both external to the company and internal to the company, insisting that Facebook is what we need to be doing, I'm dubious, and not everyone, just most people. Most people external, one person internal. But I am dubious. Tobold getting his Facebook account canceled turned out to, like, he was sort of complaining about now everything that he used Facebook Connect as authentication for, he also can't access because his Facebook account is gone and he can't disconnect these other games, these things that are entirely external to Facebook, but use Facebook's authentication. Like, when I think about using my Facebook password or my Twitter password to log in to some other website that asks me for it, I think, why the fuck would anyone ever do that? Like, this seems like everything that I know about security says you should not fucking do this.
Yeah.
Right? And this is just this totally common thing now that all of these sites do, use your other credentials to log into this thing, and people must be doing it. Right, like when is that gonna get cracked open and just fucking cause this massive catastrophe of everybody suddenly like, oh hey everybody, guess what? And then just a bunch of pictures of dicks because there's some bot just posting dicks to everyone's Facebook account.
Man, I wish hackers actually did stuff like that instead of
just like, oh, I'm gonna send out some malware to get like $8 from Russia.
Yeah, just post some pictures of dicks. That would be, I would feel so much better about being hacked if
you want,
what they did.
They can be dicks or like tits that are covered with poop.
I feel like there are
a lot of forum spam that was like vaginas with shit in them.
Plenty of malware that just puts porn up on your screen, right? Like,
it's always trying to sell you something. Like, you want to buy this shit filled vagina?
Or this like, stamp?
No. Do you want to buy this
stamp-filled vagina?
Do you want to buy this device for scraping shit out of vaginas and arranging stamps? It depends, you know. Which
It's like, a multitasker at least.
Yeah, because you don't always want to play with stamps. I don't know, man. If I were Zynga, I would not like. I don't think that they're worried about Facebook going under. I don't think anyone is worried about Facebook going under.
But like,
of course, you know, if you had 10 years ago, nobody was worried about MySpace going under.
I was just about to say, if you had tied your entire existence to MySpace, I think you'd be pretty pissed, right? Like, I think that they're just trying to like build their own identity and make sure that they have something that they can call their own.
I mean, I think that Facebook is positioning themselves out of like out of the main thrust of this market. But like them taking 30% is just fucking absurd.
I mean, that's how much iTunes takes on songs.
Yeah,
seems like it's the standard industry standard for the provider of access to an audience.
Yeah, but you don't have. There is no legitimate way to purchase music outside of iTunes, really. You can play okay, but I mean not like
Spotify.
There is no way for a person to legitimately and securely sell their music outside of the larger providers. Like you can do it, but you don't have any of their DRM protection, you don't have the advantage of any of their
It's all DRM free at this point.
Structures. Is it iTunes stuff too?
iTunes and Amazon are
okay, so let's pretend that I can get to the point that I'm actually trying to make, which is that a fucking web game could be played anywhere, right? And a game that is good enough that it doesn't rely exclusively on social networking spamming features in order to be profitable does not have to be on Facebook. Right, like there were lots of things that got popular before Facebook. Like it is not the case that you can't make a profitable web game never touching Facebook.
Because
we've done it, and somebody else could do it now, right? Like, and that 30% is a huge disincentive to have anything to do with them.
But again, the 30% is only for people that are major players.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's anybody that uses the Facebook credits, and they only require you to use Facebook credits if you've got, 100,000 daily unique visitors.
So then it's a disincentive to get big.
Well,
I mean,
sure, but I mean, there's all kinds of disincentives to get big.
They I don't think that, maybe these games, maybe Zynga's games would not be where they were without Facebook, because Facebook is what allowed them to spread in the first place. But now that there are that many people out there that are sort of like amenable to that kind of experience, they would actually be willing to spend the 10 seconds that it would take to get to one of these things that was not on Facebook if somebody told them about it and told them that it was cool. Right? I mean, I don't think that Facebook is important enough to this process in this day and age to be able to charge 30% of any developers' profits that they make on a game. And
I mean, we pay 5 or 10% of all of our profits to PayPal.
We pay six percent, which is 1/5 what Facebook charges.
Okay.
Remember when the guy approached us, it was like, hey, my company does like mobile phone payments for microtransaction games. You should sign up with us. Oh yeah, what's your cut? 70%?
It was 50. Whoa. It was 50%.
No, and we were like, no fucking way. There is no fucking way that we're gonna do that.
Yeah.
Because that is horseshit. And 50 is way closer to 30 than it is to 6. 30 is closer to 50 than it is to 6 by at least 4. At least. So, I mean, I don't know.
I think it's just about if you were, I don't know. I really just think it's probably about small games that come out that want to reach a larger audience faster, and they'll be willing to give up that 30%.
It's fine.
It's fine, but you're right.
If they want to do it.
They are giving up a lot more than they should. That's just the way it is right now. It's 30%, and that's it.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you wanted to buy a song, would you go to a website and then put your credit card information in and then your address and then click on buying the song? Or would you just go to iTunes and be like, I'll just buy this?
I would go to iTunes, but okay. For a web game, it is entirely different. And that was the point that I was trying to make.
Well, but it isn't though, right? Because the 30% is anybody who uses the Facebook credits. And Facebook already has your credit card on file, and you already have a stash of credits or whatever. So it's like all you have to do to buy something in one of these games is just click a button, as opposed to a web game where in order to get money, you have
sure.
to
buy. I mean, maybe having your game on Facebook versus not having your game on Facebook increases your profits to the point where that 30% doesn't matter.
And that's,
but maybe not. I mean,
we are bad at business, so I'm not gonna be
anybody else's
business.
You know what we are good at is doing what we think is gonna make the best video games and not make the most money.
Sure.
I mean, that is the way that we do stuff, and It seems telling that if Zynga is actually moving towards a model where they want to make good games, I mean, if they're not just fucking around, like hiring these real sort of, you know, semi-luminary industry people with some, you know, honest to God video games under their belt. And also they're moving away from Facebook. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence, right? I mean, that like they I think they have enough of a reach now that they can be an entity that has a customer base that has enough loyalty to give them, you know, a sustainable income independent of like, the problem is Facebook didn't used to take 30%. Facebook didn't used to require you to spend to Facebook accept Facebook
didn't,
credits.
Didn't have Facebook creds.
But what are they going to do in 5 years? Okay, sorry, 90%. Now what are you going to do? There's nothing stopping them from doing that, right? So that you don't, like, it just seems like a bad move if you don't absolutely have to be married to them to stay married to them.
I mean, I think Facebook doesn't want to price their games out of the market.
But they already have at 30%, thus Zynga abandoning them.
Okay, again, Zynga is clearly not abandoning them since their platform requires Facebook authentication to play, right? So, like...
I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I think that they're, like... That contractually, I don't think Zynga could have... could have a separate gaming thing that interfaced with any of their Facebook players without paying Facebook anyway, right? Like, I think they are still pretty heavily wedded to Facebook. I think that they just want to, like, in the instance that something else takes off or that Facebook falters or whatever, I think they're just trying to feel out the space in the market. I'm curious what it will pan out to be. So there were a couple of other like game sort of announcements that were kind of interesting. There was that real world cash.
Oh yeah, World of Warcraft selling an item, selling a pet in their cash shop that is tradable in the in-game market, which is prompting everybody to say, "Well, World of Warcraft just selling gold now." But I think that they're not.
It's a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah, because they're not. No gold is being created in this situation, and they are selling the opportunity to participate in a market that they don't have any control over, which may or may not... Like, I don't think that the price of this kitten in the auction house is going to represent the amount of gold that $10 will buy you from gold farmer. Yeah, and I don't think it can hope to get to that point, because this is just a vanity item, right? I mean, there's no... It
might
converts
be
no advantage.
Exactly the same, actually.
You think?
It might be. Because let's say you want one of these kittens, right? You can either buy it for $10 or you can buy it for gold in game. You can buy gold for $10.
Well,
so
Blizzard already has your credit card. Battle.net already you already have the ability to spend money with Battle.net. Battle.net who you trust, Battle.net who is not going to cancel your account for giving them $10.
So it might vary by a few percent, but I think it's possible that it will be pretty close. Right, like
only at the beginning, because the more people that buy those with the intent to sell them, and the more people that no longer want them because they've already got their one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see how that market stabilizes.
Going to drop pretty quickly.
I'm guessing that within a week, the amount of gold that you can get for that $10 purchase will be 10% of the gold that you can buy for $10 from a gold farmer.
We'll see.
I mean, I don't know if we have any way of getting at that data.
Especially because if there was an artificial rarity, like if the kittens were only available for a day,
right,
then that would be a thing. That would be more like the WoW trading cards that people sell to each other on eBay for the in-game loot codes.
But, or like a BlizzCon code or something, right? Because those get exorbitant, but like...
Yeah, did you ever find your Murky card?
I never did.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
God, that must be worth a lot of money.
$1,000.
Yeah, man. But I wouldn't have... I mean, I'm not going to sell it. Yeah, like, the reason that I want it is to give my character that sweet Murloc.
I was sad that I didn't get the Murloc outfit code, because that was a pretty cool code. I wish I could have walked around with a Murloc pet and been in a Murloc
outfit. I wish that the Murloc outfit didn't have a flag that said Blizz.
Yeah.
I wish it had just turned you into a Murloc.
Sure.
Yeah, and it actually translated all the text that you typed into Hurl into just a bunch of H's, R's, and G's.
The
like back when the different races, or maybe they do still, spoke different languages when you typed.
Yeah.
If it had a custom Murloc one.
The little Murloc pet that would occasionally do a little pull out a top hat and cane, yeah, and do a little dance. That's so great.
Wasn't that murky?
Sing out the Osborne song.
Yeah.
It would dress like, it would put on a Jay Moore suit.
And do a...
Hello, do my a, baby. Hello, my mommy.
Oh, my brain just crashed. What's the name of that guy that Jay Moore does the best impression of?
Walken?
Yeah, Walken. Thank you. God.
All right.
And then the only other outrage that I saw this week was Mass Effect 3 multiplayer stuff.
That's outrageous.
Gasp.
So apparently they're going to do...
That's like your room, Kevin.
They're going to do multiplayer content, and then that content can have an impact on your ultimate success in the single player campaign, but it's not required.
Huh.
But people were like just super pissed about it without having any idea what it's going to be like.
Well, that's why you should never tell anybody anything. I agree.
I don't like multiplayer being tacked on to single player games like that.
I don't know that it's being 100%. Tacked on.
Right? With who?
It's being
everyone.
With Rick.
It's being added to. It's like it's going to be a separate thing that you can do part of this game.
I'd rather they concentrate all of their efforts on the single player.
Yeah, because I mean, how long are people going to be playing that multiplayer game? If I wanted to play a multiplayer game, I would pick a game that is specifically designed for multiplayer with a multiplayer focus, like Team Fortress 2 or something like that. I'm not going to play a multiplayer add-on to a single-player game that you're not going to be able to find any matches for a month after the game comes out because everyone's moved on.
Not only that, I want to play in the first week and be playing in multiplayer. This is such an immersive experience, except I'm playing with a bunch of 12-year-olds calling me the N-word.
Nobody Neptune? nobody ever wants anything to change. I think it's probably going to be fine, guys. I mean, how excited were you about Mass Effect 3 anyway?
Not at all.
Yeah, so what the fuck? Why are you even...
No,
why,
but I'm not...
Why did you expend the breath that it took
I'm not speaking specifically about Mass Effect 3. It's a thing that goes on in games in general. Like
I don't like it.
The Uncharted games had their tacked on multiplayer, and Assassin's
Dead
Creed
Space.
Had theirs, although
Jeez,
I guess the Assassin's
Dead
Creed...
Dead Space with multiplayer. Awful. Worst thing ever.
Whatever, guys. You guys just got to stop playing console bullshit. Play some PC games.
I like console.
Can't play multiplayer on a PC because your fucking wireless card doesn't work. Yeah. Hey, so this assignment. Psychonauts, man.
Ah, best game ever.
Pretty good. So good.
Pretty good.
So good.
We're all really excited about it. I had tried to play it on the PS2 years ago, and I found it so hard that I just got frustrated and threw my controller through the screen of my television.
How far did you get?
The advanced
training. Is my memory correct that you did not find the entrance to Sasha 9's lab?
I did find the entrance to Sasha 9's lab, and then I got killed so many times trying to jump from platform to platform in that where I was killing the sensors and trying to lock on to dudes. And I beat it all on the first try on the PC.
I did find it a lot easier on with mouse and keyboard than I remember it being with a PlayStation controller.
So, I mean, it's like, I think it is objectively easier with WASD and mouse. And I also think that it is possible that they have made some subtle changes to it, and they give you a lot more feedback about the stuff that you wouldn't necessarily... Like, people talked about, like, not knowing that you could hit a button to switch orientation when you were hanging on a pole, and the game must have told me that 10 times.
Yeah.
I only ever saw it once.
Really?
Yep.
I feel like I saw it every time I got onto a pole
until
like the third or fourth level.
Maybe there was an option for it.
Yeah, I don't know. It did seem to have a lot of context. I'm not super excited about the combat. See, I like the flavor of it a lot. I don't know about the actual nuts and bolts gameplay, because 3D platforming, kind of bullshit.
3D platforming, abstractly, I think would be fine. It's like I feel like I'm fighting the camera
a
lot.
There,
for a game that is this good, to have so many of the basic elements of moving around the world have me just screaming fuck at my computer. There is a, in the first area, there is like a tunnel that you go down to find some secret stuff. Yeah. And then you get to the end of the tunnel and there's like this, I need to go back there because there's a power up in there that's frozen. And I remember this now, and now I can set things on fire with my mind. You go down there, you're like, oh, I can't get this yet. It's frozen. So then you can't just walk back up the fucking hill because the tunnel is too steep for you to walk up. So you slide down the goddamn thing. So there is a net on the wall that you have to climb up and then figure out how the fuck to jump from that net to a side tunnel without accidentally hitting the part of the floor that you slide down to the bottom. And I must have tried 30 fucking times to make that jump.
Huh.
In no danger at all.
You don't
just
have
jump,
to jump all the way from the thing to the other platform.
Jump, fuck. Jump.
You jump.
Fuck.
I didn't have any problems with that, but I think I moved my key bindings around, so maybe I found a more convenient.
There's another point in the dance party level with the levitation ball where you saw me doing this, right? Where it's like, all right, so you gotta kind of half pipe on this ball, jump up onto this thing that you climb, and then jump from that onto this platform at the top, which is not supposed to be challenging. It's just part of the fucking aesthetic.
As soon as I told you how to activate your float thing, though, you were fine.
Yeah, I guess.
You didn't realize that you could activate the float anytime.
It wasn't a far enough jump that you needed to activate the float. I just could never jump off of the fucking thing at the right angle because just like the basics of the controls are so frustrating.
You're moving both in relation to where your character is and also the camera at the same time, and that is confusing as heck.
The writing is so good.
So good. And the visual aesthetics are so fantastic.
Yeah.
The velvet painting level is fucking beautiful.
I've not gotten to that yet. I played up until the end of Lungfishopolis, and then I was like saving the rest of it.
Lungfishopolis, man.
There are some amazing levels. Lungfishopolis is probably like the pinnacle of like level design, but there are two or three amazing levels after that. Because maybe we shouldn't talk. If you haven't played them yet, I don't want to ruin anything.
And they all have, I don't know, they all have different things that are wonderful about them. Like the velvet painting level is beautiful. The opera level is not like
you
visually.
You mean like Final Fantasy III?
It's not visually interesting in the same way that the bullfight level is, but it's. The way the puzzle works is so interesting.
Yeah, I went through and I tried every possible combination of things just to see what that would happen. And it was super, everyone was like neat.
Why do you guys think that this game did not sell well?
Man, I have no idea. Maybe it was just a marketing problem? Was it not advertised well?
I don't know. I mean, was that at a time when games needed to be marketed well to sell well? I mean, because this is, what, 7 years ago?
2005, I think. Yeah.
6 years ago?
Did it really sell all that poorly?
I think it did. I think at the time, after release, it had not made back what it cost to develop.
Wow.
Like,
it's possible that it cost a lot to develop.
Sure.
I remember it being considered a cult classic very soon after, like, maybe the next year.
I remember it in the same category as Beyond Good and Evil. It's like this thing that everyone agrees is this really awesome game, but nobody bought it.
I remember hearing that it didn't do well. I don't remember people saying that it was an abject failure.
Maybe it was that initial cutscene.
Schaefer's misunderstood.
God, the opening movie with the coach's pep talk was so good.
It was so long, but it was okay. Yeah, that it was long
because it was awesome.
Just the like, there was like no wasted spit. Like it pans to the girl and like her knees shake a little bit when she's just like that was like there is like good characterization.
Characters are
in this.
So expression.
I wish
so much
that they
game.
Weren't.
There's so much going like.
Yeah. I wish the characters weren't so grotesque. So this is a thing that got me thinking about this. So I read this book called Level Up, and I don't remember the guy's name that wrote it, but he was a guy that had, you know, he worked on God of War. He was lead designer on some Pac-Man game and some like the Maximo games, which I never played.
Okay. Yeah.
But I kind of want to after. Anyway, it was the book I was talking about a few weeks ago where he was like kind of trying to do like an understanding comics except for video game design. And it's very
it was not as interesting to me as I'd hoped that it would be, because it was very focused on like a sort of AAA, like this was a book that was written for a total of maybe 10 dudes who are ever going to do the job that this guy does, like from now until the end of time, right? But it's a good book. But he presents this concept that he refers to as the triangle of weirdness, and he sort of illustrates it with the, you know, there's that whole thing like done fast, done right, done cheap, pick any two. Or, you know, with a girl, like smart, sexy, or sane, pick any two, right? His notion is weird characters, weird setting, weird activities. Pick any two, because if all three of those things are weird, you will have alienated your audience and the game will be incomprehensible. Huh. Like if you make everything about your game weird, you do so at your own peril, right? And the settings are very weird in Psychonauts.
The basic one is just camp.
Yeah, but it's not. That's not where the bulk of the game takes place, right? That's not the settings that you talk about. Yeah. I find the grotesqueness of the characters very off-putting. Like I wish, like,
huh?
The fact that the cotton candy headed kid, mainly because it's like his head is a fifth the size of everybody else's head, and that it's
that particular
it's got this sort of Ren
grotesque
and Stimpy, it's got the sure but you could make them grotesque without making it look like humanity was divided into 50 different creepy alien species, right? Like I don't like have a problem with the art design of the thing, but it's the characters were creepy in a way that I wish they had been slightly less creepy. Like, huh. You look fine. The girl looks fine. You know, the coach and the adults, there's variation there that doesn't seem as creepy as the variation in the kids.
Most of the kids look pretty regular.
Do they?
Yeah. Most of them.
I like the Perry and, who are those characters from Home Movies?
Walter and Perry, yeah.
The analogs of those two characters,
cheerleaders,
the other thing that I remember this confusing me, but like I felt a little overwhelmed the first time I played Psychonauts at the kind of the number of systems there are that all seem to feed into the same, like. It drives me nuts that you have to go to the store and buy the fucking cores to combine the cards that you've found into a
that
thing.
That is a little weird.
That ranks does seem, because especially because they're so trivially cheap.
It costs one-fifth as much as the cheapest consumable item in the store. Yeah. All it is forcing you to make a trip to the store and then make a trip to the lab to do it, like...
I mean, I bought like 8 or 9 of them to begin with, and then I've just never had to go back.
Yeah, exactly. Like it seems like the arrowheads thing seems like it's kind of like the like letting you pick the potion in Zelda, right? Like if you farm the arrowheads if you just go through and get arrowheads that it takes to buy all of the stuff that's in the store, you're doing it in 1% the time it takes if you buy that arrowhead detector. Yeah. Like, the fact that that thing is hundreds of times more effective than your other option,
I feel like that was kind of the point. When I was running around using the arrowhead detector to farm up the arrowheads to buy the cobweb thing, which you eventually have to have. And
you do?
Yeah. There's as I recall, there are some locations that you can't get into. Like, I think there's... I'm pretty sure at least somewhere in the late game there's a place you have to go that you can't get into without...
It definitely blocks doorways, but I don't know if they are the only way through things.
Yeah, actually, I remember what it is now. There's a door... The doorway in the compound in the Milkman's level that you have to get through, because it blocks the door to where the dark room with the security cameras are, where you get the plunger.
Right.
But what I was saying is when I got the 800 arrowheads I needed, it popped up the little quest text to, you know, you have successfully completed the thing, and it draws the line through it. And what it said was, use the arrowhead detector to get enough arrowheads to buy the cobweb remover.
Okay, but I mean...
So that indicates to me that it was part of their idea of the quest progression of the game.
I mean, I think they want you to explore, right? Way. So, like, you go and you collect an arrowhead, and then it disappears, and then you have to, like, go somewhere else to collect another arrowhead, and it disappears, and it'll come back, so you can't screw yourself out of the things you need to buy, but it forces you, it's a mechanism to, like, get you to move around the space.
Right, but then it replaces that with this sort of, like, unfun mini game.
The arrowhead detector thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I felt like I did that, like, 10 times, and I was done.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, have the arrowhead detector just be a thing that makes it so when you pull an arrow out of the ground, you get 10 arrowheads instead of one or something. Like, don't have it. It also drove me nuts. Like, why do I have to equip the cobweb detector and shoot it at cobwebs? Why could I not have just bought the ability to collect those cobwebs by playing an animation of pulling the thing out and sucking them up? Like, it doesn't take up. It, like, the item that you have equipped is, like, basically never important, unless it gets important later.
Well, I mean, no, but maybe it's...
I mean, definitely is important later.
Maybe they just saw it as, like, a... I don't know, like, a fun thematic thing. Like, it's a cool gadget that you get instead of...
Yeah, but it's a cool gadget if you don't have to hit 10 buttons to use it, right? Like,
can you use it in any other situation, or just that?
It is only when you get to these cobwebs.
No, I mean, you can use it in... You can use it on people. I mean,
oh, so you can. So you can use it as a
what
weapon.
Does it do?
It just makes them scream and stuff. Yeah. Like, you get different reactions. It
doesn't do anything useful. It's just calling.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. The fact that there were all of these collectible things that all they were was experience points, you know, kind of made me wish.
The figments?
Yeah, so, like, there's a bunch of different ways of gathering experience points, right? And I don't know if there's some finite number of...
There are.
Yeah. Are there exactly as many experience points in the game as there are
There's 100,
ranks?
101 ranks, yeah.
Okay.
So, you get a little... You don't have to get every... Like, you... I think 100 is the last time you get, like, something useful, but...
Yeah. I mean...
And then there's, like, a achievement for getting 101.
The figments are so... difficult to see, and
that is something that I have a really hard time with.
I really like, I just have no interest in trying to get 100% of them, and so I'm just like, whatever.
I've been getting as many as I can possibly get, but when I get into a situation like I'm missing one in the race in the dance party, and I've already gone through that race like 3 times trying to get them, there's no way I'm gonna stroll down the track another time looking for the single figment that I missed. So, you know, I don't get that one. That's okay. But, I mean, everywhere where it seemed feasible to me to collect them all, then I have.
I'm really enjoying it. I really want to finish it.
Yeah, me too.
I hope that you can finish it.
God, I am going to be so pissed. So, like, I played it a bunch, got pretty far, and then didn't play for a couple of days, and I went back to it yesterday and got some of the strangest errors I've ever gotten. I started it up and 2 identical error messages on the Mac pop up that are, you cannot start the app Psychonauts because it is incomplete or damaged, because it may be incomplete or damaged. And then a notice from Steam that says, this game is not available, currently unavailable. Try again later. Just does not
load. It sounds like you died halfway through the update or something.
Yeah, exactly right. That's what it sounds like to me. And I'm like, what the hell? So I don't know.
Have you tried it again since then?
I've tried it a bunch of times.
Steam gets goofy sometimes.
I mean, maybe...
I've restarted my computer, I've restarted Steam.
If you can find on your hard drive where those Steam files are stored, I imagine that your save game is a separate file from the application.
Maybe.
Can you look at files on a Mac?
Yes.
Really, you can go into like where the files are?
I mean, you can. They're not like text. They're like different colored bubbles that you have to kind of interpret what...
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a new Maurice Sendak story.
Yeah. You have to dance with them.
Yeah,
to get them to tell where the files are.
They make different pitches of chiming noises when you tap on them, that indicates what sort of file it is.
I bet you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Or if you can, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
You'll feel better about it.
So our assignment for next week is more Psychonauts.
Yeah, continue to play Psychonauts, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, me too.
I'm looking forward to spending really some quality time this weekend playing Psychonauts.
I really want to be able to do that.
Well, you can always play my game where I've collected like 40% of the collectibles.
It's worth trying to get a lot. It's worth trying to get more.
The power-ups are really
the
nice.
The power-ups end up, they're like, I think at rank 95, you start regenerating health automatically and stuff.
I think it's 90.
Is it 90?
Yeah.
I think I'm like at 35 at this point. Or I'm about to get to 35 where I get some sort of palm bomb.
That palm sounds bomb. Dirty.
Hey, so let's see somebody that wants, somebody wanted to, wait. Fuck.
What?
I forgot listener mail.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's imagine somebody sent us some listener mail. What does that listener mail say? I don't know. Because I didn't get ready for this segment.
Yeah. Did you ask on the tweeters?
No. No, I forgot. I forgot to ask. Wait, did I? I think I did. I think I asked on the tweeters. Let's look at the tweeters. This is terrible. Why am I so bad at doing this show?
Are you recording right now?
Yeah.
This is pretty good.
You guys are supposed to be saying funny shit while I'm working and making low thrums on the shit. Hey guys, says Extancic. Why does Riff hate the listener base?
I don't hate the listener base.
Duke Garland points out that there is a sweet story about killing skeletons in Dark Souls in the latest Weekend Confirmed episode 81.
Dark Souls. That's what it was. Yeah. Kevin and I were talking about that earlier about the crazy thing that they did to
which is great
to early adopters.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe that. Just amazing.
Tetrarch Angel asks what we thought about the seminal RTS Total Annihilation. Did any of us play it, and what did we think?
Nope. No. I've never been an RTS guy.
I think I rented it once and played it a little bit. And I know that it's supposed to be really good. And I think it is really good in a lot of the ways that I don't care about in RTSs, that people who are really seriously into competitive. I bet that Total Annihilation was like super, super balanced, which is not a thing that I get all that excited about. Tetrarch Angel also says, in case it didn't get through, my previous recommendation of Little Big Adventure is now available on Good Old Games, which I'll look at that. I'll look at that and see. I think he was suggesting it as an assignment.
What kind of thing is it?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Oh, right. Flounder Pesh says, 8-bit gaming mashup goodness from Nitrome, Mega Mash. Did you guys play that this week? It's... I wanna spend some more time with it. It seems pretty cool. It's like... starts out as like a Super Mario Brothers kind of thing, but then you jump to a certain point in the level and it becomes like Galaga.
Oh, that's a good
idea. And you move around differently. And then on the second level, you start getting into points that are like Bomberman. So you'll like jump, and then when you get to a certain point on the screen, it's suddenly the gravity is like something that's top down or whatever. But you still have to like, you have to push a box out of the Sokoban Bomberman level onto the next segment of the Super Mario Brothers level so that you can carry it over and use it to jump over a thing.
Oh, right. Weird.
That's cool.
Yeah. And there's if you shoot your spaceship gun off the edge of the space part, it turns into fireballs that then are subject to gravity.
Wow.
Like, so yeah, it seems like it would be possible for them to design some really interesting puzzles using this stuff. 'Cause this is like eight games. I only saw four of them.
That's cool.
But yeah. Spencer Worley wrote, what are your thoughts on the decline of the arcade? It was inevitable.
Yeah.
Consoles got too good. Arcades were always sleazy and they barely made any money. You know, I think
it is sad though.
I mean, what about social spaces where people play games together? I mean, people had LAN parties. People have, like, there's video games and game
shops.
Kind
of, that was what I was wondering the other day, is like, where, if you, I don't know, if a guy who's looking for a girl who's into a sort of music, he can go to the clubs that play that music, but where does a guy go to meet a girl who's into video games?
Her house.
Well, I mean, after you've met her,
eHarmony.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. You go to eHarmony.com. You go to match.com, except the video game one is called like gameandmatch.com. Stamps.
I was trying to think stamps.com.
Stamps.com.
Stamping out loneliness.com.
Stamps.com is where we get our postage.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'll look at the email. Video games hot dog email. let's see, Timothy Swan. Listen, Timothy Swan, we get it. You want us to play Little Big Adventure. Jeez. Phoenix512 wrote, hey guys, I was talking with a couple people about Assassin's Creed and how they felt that watching a Let's Play of it was enough for them since the first game wasn't as good as the second one or Brotherhood. I generally felt that skipping games in a series, especially ones where the story continues from the previous game, is a bad thing. I just recently beat the first one and playing the second one right now, and I can see how it's so much better than the first one. I think bypassing the first game doesn't give you the same feeling of the second one since you played through the flaws and see the flaws are gone in the second one. So I was wondering, how do you guys feel about skipping games in a series, or more specifically ones that require the previous game to understand the story of it?
I mean, well, I really want to play Half-Life before I play Half-Life 2, yeah. For
and,
example.
I mean, it depends on what you're...
I'm concerned that at this point, yeah, that would be a mistake.
It depends on what you're interested in. If what you're concerned about is knowing what's going on in the story, then watching a Let's Play should be perfectly sufficient, right?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I think sometimes it's... No, I would say that it's okay to skip games.
I mean, especially if you get into a series that has spanned 5 or even 10 years, right? Yeah. Like, play it. It is, there is an experience that you cannot duplicate if you play the games in a series as they are contemporary. Like, we were talking about this on the drive home from dinner. Like, Super Mario Brothers 3 was so fucking amazing because when it came out, it was just miles better than Super Mario's 1 and 2. Right, mm-hmm. two was significantly better than one, but it was like
it was different too.
It was different in a way that was like, I don't know about this.
Three
was like, wow, this is like if you just played Super Mario Brothers 1, but just turned everything up to 10, and it just fucking rules. And it was like a bigger deal. The difference between 1 and 3 was a bigger deal to me than the difference between 3 and World. The Super Mario World was like, all right, this looks better. There's a little bit more going on, maybe, but not a lot more. I mean, Super Mario Brothers 3 really established all of the things that Super Mario World continued with. But I don't think that somebody right now needs to play Super Mario Brothers 1 all the way through, and then 2, right, and then 3, and then World, and then 64 before they can play
Galaxy
Super Mario
2.
Galaxy 2. Yeah, yeah. Like, because it's not going
to
be
you
the
don't
same,
even
right?
Really
like,
need
you
to play Galaxy 1 before you play.
Yeah,
Galaxy
like 'cause if you don't if you're not growing up with these things, and if there's no time, although I wouldn't say the same thing about books, but like,
but
yeah,
but that I think that might be the point the writer's trying to make too, though, is I don't know, at least in the Assassin's Creed example, there's no story to Super
Mario.
There's
no plot continuity.
It's just save the princess
games,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but I
and
think
you
they,
should even play those games because they're great games, but. Yeah, I would say in the story-heavy lines, I still even think you should just be able... I don't know if it would, at least personally, I don't know if it would interfere too much if I skipped one, as long as I found out what had happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Do I play a lot of story-driven games? I don't care about game stories.
Isn't that
I care about game setting.
What about game dev stories?
Hey, game dev story is pretty good. I didn't play Hot Springs story, and Mega Mall story totally made sense to me. Tim writes, getting into first-person shooters. That's the subject line. I grew up playing NES games, and I got really good at platformers. I've never been very good at first-person shooters, which means I never have fun at them, so I never play them. But I feel like in not playing them, I'm missing out on a lot of very good games. I have a Wii and a Mac. I recently beat Portal, and I also bought Portal 2, but are there any other games you would recommend? Half-Life 2? Bioshock? Should I go get a 360 and Far Cry 2 so that I can have an emergent gameplay experience?
I see. I would say on the Mac, definitely... get Half-Life 2 and the episodes and get Bioshock.
Really? You think Bioshock?
I thought it was really
Bioshock
good.
Bioshock is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's better stuff out there, but Bioshock is really readily available on the Mac.
So the first person, the things that got me into first-person shooters, like, and again, I grew up playing PC games at the time that all of this stuff was being developed, right? Like, I remember when Doom came out as shareware, I was like, oh, have you seen this? And I played it and I was like, yeah, I don't really like this. Like, I didn't really like Wolfenstein 3D. You know, I would rather play like a really good platformer with a whole bunch of sweet power-ups and stuff than this first-person shooter.
I mean, I played through Doom and enjoyed it. I played through Quake and enjoyed it. But, like, Duke Nukem 3D was, like, I loved that game.
Duke Nukem was pretty good. Marathon was really my game, was
Marathon
the Marathon
was
series.
That's right. I did not get into... I did not really understand what was possible with a first-person shooter until the first Half-Life. And then I was like, all right, this is what you can do. And they never do that on consoles, right? Like, like Halo came out, and everybody's like, oh my God, this is the best fucking game ever. And I started playing the single player campaign of Halo, and I was like, what the fuck is this bullshit? This is like, this is
this for me.
This is the lamest, most boring and repetitive first-person shooter campaign I have played in years.
It is,
and this game is being hailed as just this incredible thing.
Terrifyingly difficult on the hard levels. Like the harder difficulty.
Yeah, but difficulty just, I mean, it's really difficult to like climb a chalkboard. You know, I don't want to do
it. I've watched a friend play through Halo on Legendary, and I was like, this is a totally different game than I have ever played on any other kind of platform or whatever. Like, it's, there are like snipers shooting you and you don't even know where they are, and like figuring out how to deal with them is like this crazy.
That sounds super fun.
Well, it's like a different kind of challenge.
It's a kind of fun for somebody. The first person shooters that I have loved the most are the first Half-Life, second Half-Life 2, but the first one really blew me away. Clive Barker's Undying.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not ever heard anything good about that.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't heard a lot about it.
It is one of the only first-person shooters that I played all the way through, and it was awesome.
It may be, my opinion may be colored by the trashing that Yahtzee gave it.
Undying? I think so. He's talking about Jericho.
Undying came out
years before. Okay. Like, Jericho, I've heard, is not great. But Clive Barker's Undying by Clive Barker.
In that case, I don't know anything about Undying.
Yeah. There were a lot of puzzles in it that were like, I'm a sucker for this kind of thing. There were a lot of puzzles in it that involved you going into this scrying mode where like you switch on this thing that consumes mana but shows you what's really going on in the spirit world. So you look at the paintings of this, you're in this mansion and there's this family that's undergone this curse and they've all kind of turned into monsters. And like, when you're in scrying mode, if you look at paintings of them, you see the boss that you're eventually going to fight.
Yeah, I remember that.
There's a very Hellraiser-y kind of sequence where you're fighting one of the bosses where he's just like this sort of like fucked up corpse that's in the middle of this room hanging on a bunch of chains with hooks on them and shooting all these chains with hooks on them at you.
That sounds kind
of
cool, actually.
There's a lot of like just other dimensional stuff. The graphics have not held up very well. Alien vs. Predator 2 was another just really amazing first-person shooter experience. Like,
did you ever play the original Unreal?
I played the first little bit of it. I played until you got onto the planet and it got boring.
I remember really enjoying it. I wonder if it would hold up for me. That's another one that I don't know if there's any way for me to actually play it these days.
I mean, Deus Ex. It's harder to play on a Mac, but it is doable.
Deus Ex and I would even say GoldenEye.
GoldenEye is hailed as like a really,
and even not just GoldenEye is mainly known for its multiplayer, but even the single player campaign is very good.
GoldenEye was pretty impressive. Yeah. Like the number of things that you were doing that weren't just shooting a dude in a face, not necessarily his. Like, some of the dudes were carrying faces.
Sure.
Some of them were like those fucking creepy Ghosts and Goblins bosses where they had a head, but they also had a face on their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Mark White writes, my name is Mark White, and I will like your company to get me a price on some dog coop. I will like you to get me the sizes and types of dog coop you have and the price range on them. Immediate responses is required and advise on the method of payment. With kind regards, Mr. Mark White.
And how long ago did he send that?
October 3rd. And dog coop in both cases was in parentheses. Parentheses space, dog coop, parentheses space.
We're probably too late.
Well, so, I mean, we are a company for video games and hot dogs.
If immediate responses is required, we're way too late.
Man, I wonder
is required. Immediate responses is required. Yeah, and I did
what,
not.
What was his situation that he needed a dog coop right away?
Also, what the fuck is a dog coop?
Also, that's why couldn't he just...
No, it's not. That is not a thing that you say. You have a pigeon
like a
coop.
Chicken coop?
Yeah, this is a place for my dogs to roost.
This is my dog coop.
I want to start a small business selling dog eggs.
Yes. <That's>...
I need a place for them to hang out.
Who's got a chicken crate?
Don't make fun of people who
use parentheses incorrectly.
Well, who write things in English is not their first language.
Alex White.
We're laughing. We're not laughing at him. We're laughing on him.
Lars Fleiger says, "I like it when dudes are named Lars."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool Metroidvania you guys should check out. Hey guys, I just wanted to ask if any of you have heard of an indie game called La Mulana. It was released in 2005 as a freeware PC game meant to look like an 8-bit game for the Japan-only MSX platform. It's slated to get a remake on the WiiWare, and it's looking to be the best downloadable Wii game since World of Goo.
Well, I watched an LP of it, and it looks fiendish.
Yeah, I downloaded it and started playing it, and I was like, when I got my first item and looked at the inventory screen and the number of slots that there were for items that were likely to be important to puzzles in the future, I was like, I don't think I have time to play this game.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
It's hardcore. It's not quite I want to be the guy levels of awful, but right. It's vicious.
Well, that was a pretty sweet listener mail feedback segment. What would someone do, Kevin, if they wanted to send us some listener mail feedback segment?
They could send us a letter. We actually got a letter in the mail.
No, really?
We didn't get a letter. But they could tweet us.
Got my hopes up.
Sorry. They could send us a letter. I need to go to the post office and let them know that we can accept advice hot dog mail at our PO box and video games hot dog mail.
Apparently things have been bouncing. They could tweet us at VGHotDog. They could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com.
The email is probably the most likely way to get your question read, or prices on a dog coop.
Tweeting us is pretty good.
If you're that unsure, send to both.
If immediate
responses is required,
requires short
email is the way
questions.
To go.
And then you
there
could
is
also
some cost to sending snail mail to us, though.
That's true.
Cost of a stamp, at least.
Stamps.
Stamps.